Hello, Leanna.
Hello, Ed.
And how are you this fine day?
I am a little tired, actually.
Did I throw you off with that this fine day edition?
Well, yeah, because the weather's not great, but okay.
It's not snowing. It's not cold. It's a fine day.
Yeah.
That's how I define fine. So here we are. The day we're recording this is a sad day for comedians who like to delve into the past because O.J. Simpson died.
Right.
So in one way, it's a good day for comedians who like to delve into the past. But after he's dead today, there's really nothing more to milk out of that corpse.
Literal. That expression is literal. Right.
Yeah.
Now.
Well, yeah, he's, I mean, I wonder whether the glove will fit him now.
Yeah, I don't know. I am uncomfortable with this conversation because I try to be classy about things because, I mean, he does have children and things like that. And so I don't know who's going to hear this. And so I try not to.
You think that OJ's kids haven't heard it all by now?
I don't have to add to it. So
I think that maybe the loss of, I don't know if she was the mother of both of them or one of them or none of them, but you think that might have impacted them more than something we might say. The thing about OJ is he, in one way, yes, he definitely seemed to escape justice. And that whole trial was really putting a spotlight on the racial divisions in America and the relationship between black people and the police. It was really, it was turned into a referendum on things that it wasn't really a referendum about. It didn't, it stopped being a murder trial and became about everything else, which is, you know, the brilliance of a defense team. Don't make it, if your client seems guilty, make it about something else, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with the beyond reasonable doubt standard. I'm good with that. It's just, he did so many other things, you know? Like, it's like, if somebody's not a murderer, then they did nothing wrong. We live in this world, and I don't know. I just, I try not to speak ill of the immediately dead.
Well, I didn't see, if I didn't speak well of somebody when they were alive, I got no problem speaking ill of them when they're dead, because otherwise I feel like I'm being, you know, kind of hypocritical. But, you know, he never paid the amount that the civil trial found he should pay the families of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman. He continued to live very well because he had a pension from his time in the NFL, which was a very rich pension. And legally in the States, you can't touch a pension for legal payments.
Mm-hmm.
So he continued to live very well. I mean, there was a lot of places that didn't want him showing up anymore.
Right.
But that's
there's
a
lot of
price
places that doesn't want me showing up. So
well,
that's
there's
not
that.
Much of a loss.
There was that,
you know?
Book he wanted to write, If I Did It.
Yeah.
Where he talked about what he would have done or something if he did it. And
yeah.
I think the person who okayed that book lost their job.
That was in poor taste, I'll say.
I would say so. And if you're looking for in poor taste, one of the advantages of O.J. Simpson's death is that people are circulating compilations of Norm MacDonald.
Oh, yeah, I watched some of those.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, so good. Weekend Update, SNL. His repeated jokes about OJ being guilty. Jokes often which only could be funny delivered by Norm MacDonald. He had just such a way. But those are the jokes that got him fired from SNL and really hurt his career long term, because the guy who was, I think, the West Coast vice president of NBC was a good friend of OJ Simpson and put the rule down, get Norm MacDonald to stop making OJ Simpson jokes. And Norm, being Norm, didn't. And so he got fired.
And you know what? Even though It's like, oh, that wasn't smart. I gotta salute the guy for that.
I mean, it was typical Norm. The guy had such moxie. He was just, oh yeah, you don't want me to do it? No, he's very much a hold my beer type of guy.
But you know what? There's also a principle at play there. Why do the, you know, connected get to shut down jokes when nobody else does?
Well, because they do, and it's not right, but it's fact. And I thought it was great that he did what he did, but of course I didn't have to bear the consequences.
Well, I suspect that it's kind of hard to predict that you're going to be that blacklisted for doing something like that, but that stuff doesn't make any sense. I mean, I got blacklisted from places for things you did.
Yeah. And so, those things weren't even bad, such bad things.
No, but it's the whole thing of, are you controllable, right?
Well, and, you know, the interesting thing about Norm Macdonald is before his death, he was in it. I forget what show he was on, but he said he'd actually reversed himself on the OJ jokes that he made. He said that the more time he had to think about it, OJ was found not guilty by a jury of his peers. Therefore, he should not have continued to joke that he was guilty. Interesting, interesting thoughts.
I mean, I can see the logic there. I do think that, unfortunately, there are a lot of double standards in the world. There's a racial charge to the whole OJ story that I understand the people who just didn't want to believe he did it because of that. And there are some people who, you know, we live in an age where Jonathan Majors gets dropped from the Marvel Cinematic Universe for a misdemeanor assault charge. But the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe was started by Robert Downey Jr.'s Iron Man, and he spent 15 months in prison.
It's all what it looks like to people these days. It's all what it looks like. The thing about, I remember with OJ at the time, I don't remember which magazine it was. It was one of the weekly magazines about news and politics. It was very popular. Took the OJ mugshot and darkened it.
Yes.
To make him look darker skinned.
Yeah, and more menacing.
Yeah. That, which is just, there's, America has no problem with racism. I mean, okay, you're going to say, that was 30 years ago. It doesn't matter. It hasn't changed. If they want to make somebody, a black person, look scarier, they make them look darker. And, you know, speaking of somebody who got worked over unfairly, Gina Carano came up again because she's
lawsuit.
Suing Walt Disney, right?
Yeah. All right.
What?
Yeah. I'm a curse on everyone's house on that one. I think that Disney jumped the gun. I don't think her comments were all that terrible.
I think her comments were not just not terrible, they were accurate.
Well, and people are like, what? How could you say that? A lot of people don't know what she actually said.
That's exactly it. Here, can I read the tweet?
Yeah, go ahead.
Jews were beaten in the streets, not by Nazi soldiers, but by their neighbors, even by children. Because history is edited, most people don't realize that to get to the point where Nazi soldiers could easily round up thousands of Jews, the government first made their own neighbors hate them simply for being Jews. How is that any different from hating someone for their political views?
Right. And the inference was she was comparing conservatives to Jews in 1930s Germany.
It was not, to me, I lost family in the Holocaust. That is not trivializing the Holocaust. It was making a cogent point. And you think about it, what's going on today, the dehumanization again of Jews under the guise of being pro-Palestinian. This quote is more salient than ever because it's true. It's dehumanization. So people are given the license to go be horrible to others.
I got accused this week by people who clearly have an agenda to smear me, but I got accused this week of being a right-wing grifter. And their evidence is I said one nice thing about a right-wing YouTuber, and I said, you know, Jordan Peterson's 12 Rules for Life in and of itself is innocuous. That's it.
Well, that's somebody reaching. Anybody who thinks, like, anybody who thinks you're right-wing is smoking something. They haven't checked your Twitter history. They haven't checked your history. They haven't checked your online videos. The idea that you are right-wing is, now, okay, there are some people who are so freaking extremist left-wing that next to them, anyone seems right-wing.
Well, that's
or they determine they're right-wing.
I don't even know what to call myself anymore, you know? Because...
I call myself a pragmatist.
And I'm not even that, because I am very, like, look to the future, look to the horizon on a lot of issues. I don't know what to call myself anymore, because everyone just seems nuts. All the sort of political, I fail every political litmus test.
What about centrist?
I'm not on certain issues, though.
On certain issues. The fact that you're not on certain issues, but you are on other issues, means you're a centrist.
No,
centrist doesn't mean you see both sides and agree with both sides. It means sometimes this, sometimes that.
No, I wouldn't consider myself a centrist because, you know, I'm not middle of the road.
I'm not middle of the road. Like, there's some things I lean left. There's some things I might be considered more conservative on, because to me, being in the center doesn't mean always coming in on every issue smack down the center. It means you're not pegged to being right wing or left wing. Your identity doesn't hinge on being part of some group.
Well, that's it for me. I do, whenever you take one of those political compass tests, I come out as very strongly left-wing, but I come out very strongly libertarian, which leaves me at odds with both political polls right now, because there is no organized movement right now that is actually pro-freedom.
What is, I mean, I'm trying to figure out, does the same test find you left-wing and libertarian?
Yes.
How is that possible? That's crossing the stream.
No, libertarian is not right wing. It's not.
But it's not left wing either.
No, because it's left to right, libertarian to authoritarian. So it's a four grid chart.
Oh, so that's that particular comparison chart is not about left or right. It's about libertarian versus authoritarian. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, like, they don't treat libertarian as a subsection of the right, because it's not, because libertarians believe in things like marry whoever the heck you want, it's okay to be trans, and, you know, leave the government out of that stuff. So that doesn't line up with right wing, doesn't believe in prayer in schools, you know, and both the right and the left are protectionists now, and libertarians don't believe that. It's a question of, to me, it is a question about artistic, intellectual, and personal freedom. That's really what it comes down to. That drives me more than how to do it.
So you're saying that the principle drives you more than the process?
Well, yeah, because it's how to get there. You know, when you get so into the government solves everything, that's a problem, because some problems the government is not good at solving.
Well, there's some things governments aren't equipped or built to solve. Yeah.
But that's the thing, right? If there is government role in something, then government should do it. But for instance, people blaming the government for inflation or blaming the government for mortgage rates, those aren't the government.
Yeah, but people are under this impression. I mean, I don't know what people were doing when civics were being taught in school to them, but people are under the impression that if you're in, you know, government, air quotes, government,
yeah,
that means you can do whatever you want. And if you don't do it, it's because you don't want to, as opposed to this is this is the responsibility of municipal. This is the responsibility of provincial. This is the responsibility of federal. And if you tell somebody that, they're like, if they wanted to, they could do it. It's like, no, they'd have to change. They'd have to change laws. Like, they'd have to break down and wreck the entire structure of how power is apportioned in this country. They can't just do it because they want to.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all of a sudden both political poles want to remove all separation of powers and you know, protection from government that individual citizens have. It's really quite scary.
Well, it makes you wonder. I mean, I see videos. I can't watch them for very long, but every now and again, it pops up a video of some people in a Trump rally talking to Trumpers, and it exposes their bare knuckle ignorance. It's just hard to palate that people are walking around this passionate about things they know nothing about. But it's there. But what's interesting is that they find ways to say that the church and state, it was never intended. There was never any intention by the Constitution to say there should be a separation of church and state. It's like people and other people are saying, well, I support Donald Trump. And if he thinks he needs to be a dictator, I support him.
Yeah.
And these are right wingers who used to be the ones waving the red, white, and blue and talking about being a bulwark of democracy. Now it just seems like that was just a talking point, like they needed something to adopt. But it doesn't seem that these people really care that much about democracy. You know, it was just posturing, or the people that did care about that on the right have just been silenced, and we get these yokels. And when I say yokel, it doesn't mean they're poor and backwoods. There's yokels with yokel attitudes who are middle class and rich, but it just makes you think. I remember growing up, America is the bedrock of democracy. They used to pound that, world's greatest democracy, pound that. And now that very same political wing is saying, well, guy wants to be a dictator, I'll support him.
Yeah, I don't get that.
What scares me is the level of ignorance that exists. Now, it's easy to point to the U.S. and their level of ignorance, because their level of ignorance right now is threatening their democracy. But we've got ignorance here, too. Now, I think we're better schooled. Our public school systems are better. I think we're less quick to be judgmental in general, across the country.
Yeah. I think what it is that we have more experience associated with people who are different from us. That's the big difference, because most Canadians live in cities. We're a mosaic multiculturalism. We're not melting pot multiculturalism like the US. And I think that's the big difference, because I know some very, very educated people who are, as we say, where I come from, ignorant.
Ignorant. Yeah.
Ignorant. That's ignorant, but when you don't, you know, when you can't be bothered with the extra vowels, like, they ignorant. That's it.
Yeah, it's funny because, yeah, people can be educated and still be ignorant, because they're educated in certain topics. That doesn't mean that they're aware of all topics. Somebody who's educated to be a mechanic, for example, can't do surgery. Like, it's right. They would be ignorant of the needs of a surgeon. It doesn't mean they're stupid. It means they're unaware. Because ignorant simply, I think, means to me, you're unaware. When you're made aware that you're unaware, but you cling to your unawareness like it's some badge of pride, then you're really ignorant.
Yes. Super ignorant.
Like, maybe people who don't know what they, like, who don't realize that they're not aware of things and are made aware of that
means.
And they say, oh, I didn't know that, those people were ignorant. But the people who are made aware of their ignorance and cling to it, they're ignorant.
But ignorant just means you don't know yet. You are ignorant of facts. It's not that you're hateful. It's, and people find ignorant more offensive than it's intended, at least when I say it. It's some people just do not have the opportunity to have certain experiences that would make them more aware of, you know, the full picture. And I do think that, how do I put this? People are being so bombarded with information, it is impossible to keep up with all of it. I can't keep up with all of it.
Well,
and, you know, I think that unfortunately the various media machines have just gotten so good at overwhelming people that through no fault of their own, people are just, yeah, I did a show on heuristics recently on It's Not Therapy, and people are just like, ah, to heck with all of them. And right. That's, and, you know, that's how
that
the authoritarians
was a great show, by the
win.
Way.
I got a lot of compliments on that show, and I was really surprised because to me it was very dense and kind of.
No, I that was a great show. For those who don't know what heuristics are, let me try to explain this to see if I absorb your podcast right. Okay.
All right. Yeah.
When you're saving a file on your computer, that fact that they call it a file and show a icon of a file folder is creating an association with something that you know and understand, so you understand what the function is.
Right.
Oh, okay. I got that right. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, there are different, that's one type of heuristic. It's a shorthand to, you know, you don't have to know what your recycle bin does in your Windows, but that's the recycle bin. You know what it does. You don't know how it works. But I use, you know, the relativeness heuristic, for instance. If something looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a duck, right? That's an example. And so the entire Pepe Le Pew cartoon series is all about a misguided heuristic, thinking fuzzy little lady critter, black with white stripe, skunk, wrong, cat with paint on her back, right?
Yeah, and that's actually a really good visual.
Yeah.
You know what? Let's go to a break, and then we'll come back, okay? Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we're back. I want to comment on something that you said. You said people are being bombarded by information. I think people are being bombarded by words. I wouldn't say...
That too, oh Lord.
I wouldn't say, like, they're being bombarded by words arranged in paragraphs. I wouldn't say that what they're being bombarded with is information. Because if you're reading something that isn't true, that's, I don't call that information. I call that crap. So people are being bombarded with crap, and there's so much crap, it's hard to tell what's not crap from what is crap. So people tend to lean towards, well, what makes me more happy to believe? And so that's why people wind up, you know, going to things that just support their own bias and their own prejudices, because it makes it easy. I don't know how to, you know, I don't know what to believe. There's so much out there. I don't know how to parse the truth from the lies. So I'll just go with the one that I like best.
Yeah. I mean, most reasoning is emotional when we actually look at it.
Can you call emotions reason?
Well, we do reason emotionally.
Because it sounds like an oxymoron.
Well, we make decisions mostly based on emotion.
All right, okay.
And then we kind of backfill the explanation for why we did something. But the reality is just, well, it was because it felt good, or because I wanted to, or because I really wanted to get back at that person. The lofty reasons we often give for things are, they're a self-delusion. It's not why we really did it.
Yeah, you got to be more like cats who, like, if they knock something off a counter, they're not explaining why. They're not apologizing. Yeah, I did it. Like, it's, they're much more self-aware and honest with themselves.
Yeah, I spent the eclipse with a cat's butt in my face, which is pretty funny.
So you got a completely different kind of eclipse.
Yeah, I got a feline eclipse as opposed to a solar one. But I mean, I looked over, one of my cats was eating, the other one had her butt in my face. It was like, other people were messaging me saying the dogs in their neighborhood were going crazy and everything like that. But where I was, it was like, whatever.
There's videos online of animals in zoos, like, freaking out.
Yeah.
Which I don't even understand. It was dark for a little bit. It's been dark since November. Like, I don't understand why this actually would have even bothered or registered on these animals. Like, there was a video of wolves coming out when they're normally nocturnal, and there was a thing of giraffes running around. And I'm thinking, unless they feel something about the change in the gravitational pull or something, or the magnetosphere, why would this even bother them?
Well, keep in mind, some animals that have airborne predators, the sun goes out, that means something's blocking it.
All right, that's a good point. But it didn't get as, where I was, it didn't get as dark as night.
Well, because you weren't in the path of totality.
So you had to be in the path of totality for it to be as dark as night.
Yeah, I mean, it got pretty dark where I was. It was a bit eerie, but I knew what was going on, and I was with everybody else.
I was disappointed that the eclipse didn't stir renewed interest in Mark Twain's A Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court.
Okay, I was doing the eclipse playlist thing, looking up videos of like Black Hole Sun and
right.
stuff like that, But I watched Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Yes.
I had no idea what that video was about before this week, and now I am disturbed.
I don't think, what is it about?
The song's not about this, but the video really seems to be a female principal having an affair with a high school student.
What?
Yeah.
In the video. I gotta check that out again. I never caught that.
I was like, what is going on here?
So it's should have been called Total Eclipse of the Law.
Because, like, there's a bunch of half-naked dudes around her at the end, you know? And I guess if he was a high school senior back then, it's not technically illegal, but it's, by today's standards, very unethical.
Yeah, I was going to say that it's kind of a sticky situation, but that's really the wrong term to use when describing that kind of thing.
Easy.
It was an accident. I didn't mean it.
Yeah, but yeah, because I mean, there was that Lionel Richie video back then too, where he's stalking a blind woman.
Oh, hello. Yeah.
Like what you what you could do in, it's just so strange that those things got passes, but Madonna kissed a black Jesus in Like a Prayer and everybody freaked out.
Well, people were far less aware of stalking back then. Back then, stalking was seen as romantic. I mean, the police song, Every Breath You Take?
Yeah.
People thought it was romantic. And the police said, no, this is a horrible little song about a stalker with an obsession. This is not romance. This is not love. But people were not aware of the whole notion of stalking back then. I mean, I remember watching an episode of TV's Hunter, where the female cop was being stalked. The person was bothering her for a day and a half. Like, it was not taken seriously. Whereas depicting Jesus as black back then, whoa, that, even today, that would be a problem. Now, the thing is, certain elements of Christianity are great with Jesus being depicted as a sort of white Northern European. When
I
in
actually
fact,
read a whole history of that image.
He would have looked much more Semitic.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, facts. But yeah, I don't know. People use these stories to, I try to use the stories to question myself and challenge my judgment and be a better person.
You mean the biblical stories?
Yeah. I don't do so much with the New Testament, but the Torah, yeah, there's some good stories that actually curb my less great tendencies.
Well, the thing about the Torah, the Hebrew Bible, known as the Old Testament, is that the people who are the protagonists are not perfect people. They make huge mistakes, and they're not ideal. You're not supposed to behave, live your life like this guy, because this person screwed up. And the lesson is, the person screwed up. It's like there's some people who think the story of the binding of Isaac, if I may get theological here, the binding of Isaac, where God tells Abraham to take his son to a place in the mountain, tie him up, and make him into a sacrifice, burn him.
And then
him.
At the last minute goes, pranked. Dude, you should see your face.
You know, at the last minute, God says, stop. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Like,
why did you just do that?
Yeah,
what's wrong
did you
with
not,
you? Yeah.
why did you not challenge me? You knew this was wrong. You didn't challenge me. Why? And this goes as a black mark against Abraham because he just followed God blindly.
Well, wasn't that the same criticism of Noah, that he didn't actually fight harder to stop the flood?
Yes.
Yeah.
But there are those who say that the story of the binding of Isaac is a story that supports obedience to God. It's like, did you miss the end of the story?
Yeah, it's all about bros before Jehos.
Oh, now
get it?
That
Jehovah.
That is a good one.
Yeah.
Bros before
Jehovah. Yeah.
Well done. I want a shirt with that on it. Bros before Jehos. That's well done.
Thanks, God.
If I had hands, I would have flogged.
Yeah.
It's a good one. All right.
I just made that up.
That's what made it brilliant.
Suddenly, this has become like weird alternative reality morning radio, you know?
Oh, you want me to get a horn to honk? Because that's, you know, every
is
morning
it a
radio
ram's
is
horn?
Is a morning zoo, and you got to have a honk honk. But the problem is, in ideal morning zoo radio shows, there would be you, there would be me, and then there would be a guy who's kind of middle of the road. Because you got to have the middle of the road guy who does the business. You got to have the woman who's smarter than both the other guys. And then you got to have the joker.
Right. But like in this version where like Bros Before Jehos comes in, the honk honk would be a shofar. It would be a ram's horn. And we
you
just
ever tried
blow
to
it.
Blow a shofar?
It's hard. You
it's,
really got to go
it's,
in. It's like a bagpipe.
Yeah, it you could blow your brains out your ears before even getting a sound out of that damn thing.
Well, you have to do like the trumpet mouth too, right? That kind of thing.
I remember a Hebrew school teacher that I had. Now, this guy was so stupid. He came in one day. You know this story. He came in one day and said, did you hear the good news? Did you hear the good news? What's the good news? Science found out that eating milk and meat together will give you cancer.
Yeah.
So not eating kosher will give you cancer. So millions of people around the world are going to get cancer. Did you hear the good news? But he also, when we were talking about blowing the shofar, he made some joke. He said, one of my students asked, why would you blow the shofar? Because they have a driver. Why would you blow up the shofar?
Oh,
and I'm thinking
my joke was better.
Well, I'm thinking blow the shofar is not saying to kill them.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't realize that back then. I was too young. But yeah, think about it later. I'm like, what a dick.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I don't really think that religion in and of itself makes people into better people. Good religious leadership can, living, you know, setting an example of living a good life, but the actual religion itself, it's just too easy to use it to justify bad behavior as opposed to turning yourself towards better behavior.
Well, yeah, I always say that if your religion guides you to doing good for other people, and that's your guidepost, it was what inspired you, great. Then that's good religion. If your religion provides you with cover to give like a halo around your hatred and your nastiness, no, you're missing the point. Most people, though, with religion, I see religion as a gift-wrapped present, and most people keep the present wrapped and marvel at the colors and shininess of the gift wrap. They don't bother opening it up to see the present that's actually inside.
Yes.
It's not as good as Bros Before Jehos, but it's a good image anyway.
That was one of my better moments.
All right. Speaking of moments, let's take a moment to go to a break and then return, okay?
Yeah.
All right. So switching gears, Leanna.
Uh-huh.
Which I never know how to do because I don't drive standard. It's done for me. But switching gears, again, I think it's time to just make a comment about people who are creating entertainment, that like entertainment programming, that have no respect for the time of the viewer.
Are you talking about Fallout?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now we talked about.
Apparently it gets better. Yeah, apparently it gets better.
Okay. Here's my problem with hearing apparently it gets better. I didn't have a problem with the first episode of Fallout, being someone who doesn't play the game, but I did feel like, couldn't you have done this in 20 minutes and not like an hour?
Well, because then you watch X-Men 97 and they do more than an hour of Fallout in like 25 minutes.
X-Men 97 is excellent.
That show does not sleep.
Well, no, it is excellent. And yeah. I didn't watch the original, but X-Men aren't my favorite characters. But this is storytelling and animation really well done. But you remember Andor, that Star Wars show?
I actually was talking to somebody the other day about how I struggled to remember Andor because I was so bored.
I remember something about them being out in the fields. It looked like Scotland. But that's all I remember.
I remember the kids. I was like, why are there all these
kids?
There
were kids?
There were like teenage like kids with like,
oh yeah, that flashbacky thing.
Yeah, and it took me 4 episodes to realize it was a prequel to Rogue One, so I was really confused.
Well,
but
you remember
then,
now, you and I are both first episodes.
Yeah, I remember the blonde lady with the really good bun, because I was pleasantly surprised to see a blonde lady in Star Wars, so I remember her. And then I remember something happening in like an antiquity shop, or something like that, and then they did the heist. And then I got confused again.
I don't remember any of that. But
yeah, but you were saying about first episodes?
Yeah, first episodes. When you're in a vast world that is not our world, it's very difficult to establish that entire world in one episode. So I give first episodes a pass, unless they're horrendous. I give first episodes a pass. I start to knuckle down on the second episode. So I watched the second episode. I was like, this isn't all that good. Third episode, I was like, okay, I can't anymore. And people said, no, it gets better next episode. All right, watch episode 4.
Yeah.
It's still, I don't care about the characters. I don't care about the plot. They don't even know what story they're telling. I'm not interested. No. It gets better next episode.
Yeah.
All right, I'll give it one more episode. Watch episode 5. Still don't care about any of it. And people are like, oh, no, you got to stick with it. It gets better episode. No, I don't have to stick with it. This is my point. It had, in 5 hours, you did not, you weren't able to engage me in the story or the characters. You don't get hour 6. And that's why, like, there are people, filmmakers can make movies in, now, some of them these days, they go 3 hours, then directors cut 4 hours. That, I think, is just indulgence and masturbation. But there
or
are filmmakers.
Zack Snyder 6.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, you know, some of the best movies I grew up watching were done in 90 minutes or 2 hours. Okay. Yeah. And that respects your time. Whereas nowadays, these people who do these TV shows, and let's face it, those series, those costly series, every episode is like a movie in the quality of production and so on. They have 10 hours. To tell me a story that others could have told me in 2 hours. And it's like, I understand you get paid per episode or whatever, but can you make enough story happen in each hour that I don't feel like I've just wasted most of my time?
Yeah, I honestly think the first episode of Fallout tried to do too much.
Okay.
Like, you know, knowing the games. In the games, you start in the vault. That's how you always start. And then something goes horribly wrong, and you have to go up to the surface. And so in Fallout games, you discover the world gradually, right? Bit by bit, town by town.
Those who don't know Fallout, well, Leanna can fill me in if I'm wrong. It's about an alternate timeline where the nuclear war happened, I guess, in the 50s or something like that. And people moved into these lavish, very... complicated underground vaults, and that's where people lived. And the vaults, I guess, were all connected to each other through these tunnels. Anyway, people lived underground for years, generations, and then they go to the 200 years later, someone goes to the surface of the blighted post-apocalyptic world. Am I right?
That's close enough. Yeah. And there's all these, you know, there's all these products in world like Nuka-Cola and Radex and Mentats and all that stuff. But it's, yeah. So you start and you sort of discover the world as whatever vault dweller, or in the case of Fallout New Vegas, the courier, you discover the world along with them. And the whole idea is, because the character isn't expected to know the world, there's no dissonance between the player experiences and what, you know, the character does. But with the first episode of Fallout, they introduced the vaults, the raiders, the world before the bombs dropped. And then they do the Brotherhood of Steel and the enclaves, and then they jump to the ghouls. And it was so much, so very much.
Well, I agree. I mean, I will say this. Walton Goggins is a very versatile actor.
I think he's my favorite character in the whole thing.
Isn't he supposed to be, though? He's kind of like the Wolverine type character, like the anti-hero type character who can make pithy comments and seems to be enjoying themselves through all the chaos.
The ghouls are a particular thing in Fallout where they live a really long time, and the trade-off is their flesh is sort of rotted off from radiation. That's why it has no nose. And they're sort of pariahs, so they can only do certain jobs. Now, some of them have one way or another ascended it through, like, criminal underworlds or things like that. So they're sort of a staple of Fallout, and I've always liked the ghouls, but I don't know. Because there's three main characters, right?
Lucy, well, and they took the time to introduce them. Here's the thing. Yeah. As somebody, as I said, who didn't play the games but has a general cultural awareness of them,
yeah,
I didn't need all of that backstory laid out and explained for me. We have enough in our culture of pop culture. There are enough shortcuts. There are enough scenarios we're familiar with that you do not need to explain it. It's like, you know, it's like, you know, for me in movies, Superman flies. How does he fly? He flies. Get over it. I don't need to know false science. How does Star Trek, how does the Enterprise go through time? It goes through time. Next. Like, I don't need people to give me something plausible about something that is not plausible. Just have fun.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that, I mean, the opening of a Fallout game tends to be a bit slow because you're learning the controls and stuff. But even that, I'm pretty sure I can play through the opening of Fallout 3 or Fallout 4 faster than it took Lucy to get out of that vault. I did not need half of that. Everything just lingered. And I'm finding that about these streaming shows is the animations respect people's time. But
because it's so expensive, every minute of animation.
I guess, but the live action, they just don't. It seems very impressed with itself. And I can practically hear the people in the development meeting go, but people haven't played the game. You have to explain it to people who haven't played the game, because people can't get a 1950s aesthetic after, you know, the Cold War. All the fears of the Cold War came true. That's Fallout. Now what happens?
Well, it's just, I don't, like I started out, and like you just said, respect my time, please. Don't belabor and engage in directorial masturbation. Just tell me the story as quickly as is doable.
Like, this is the Nolans. So, I mean, they did Person of Interest and they did Westworld, and they're good showrunners, which is why I'm willing to give it more of a chance. So I think it was something else going, you know, no, I don't understand it. Like, give it a bit of time. Just all make it look cool. You know.
Speaking of time, we got to go to a break and come back for a short segment.
Okay.
Back after this. All right. We've got like under 5 minutes. So the last 2 weeks, I did better in apportioning the segments fairly. This week, not as good. But nonetheless, it's a learning experience, a teachable moment. What do you want to talk about for 4 minutes?
I can just sing songs from Fallout. I don't know.
Well, that's the cool thing about Fallout is because it happened in the 50s. There was no musical, like, you know, music industry to advance. So the songs that they play are very ironic because the 1950s music was all about, hey, everything's good. Like, it was all just this utopian myth that was being weaved through music. And so contrasting that with the post-apocalyptic, there's a cleverness to it that I really appreciate.
Yeah, some of the games actually deal with the fact that it's a local radio station where they're just using the records that survived. And so they might only have six of them.
Right.
But a lot of the songs have something to do with nuclear warfare or something like that.
Oh, there's some songs that are reminiscent of the sound of the time, but their lyrics very, very dark.
I think those some of them, but like I Don't Want to Set the World on Fire, that's a real song.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I do think that some of the other songs, at least in the games, they were real songs. Because some of them are just so cuddly, and you're like, wow, the lyrics of this were horrible.
Yeah, it's anyways, as they said in Nacho Libre, a great and underrated and forgotten movie.
Yeah.
Nacho Libre was hilarious. If you haven't seen it, find it. It's a stupid comedy for smart people. Because smart people made this as a stupid comedy, and it works.
Yes.
Yeah, I should watch that again. Thing is, there's so much out that's new. When am I going to find time to watch something again?
Yeah.
I guess that's what the old folks home is for.
Some people can watch things over and over. Like, they watch the old seasons of things before the next season comes out. It's like, how do people have the time?
Yeah, I never understand that. People are telling me they're watching this, they're watching that. I'm like, I know that you have a full-time job. I know you got a family. How the hell do you have the time to see this?
I mean, some of them do like three things at once. I know people who watch YouTube videos on like 1.5 times. So like they speed it up.
Doesn't that change the...
Of course, like, it does.
Does that make it more entertaining? Sounds like Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Well, yeah, it's like, yeah, people are talking like this. And it makes it sound really crazy, but oh my god, haha! Like, it's so strange. I tried it once. It's like, no, this is stripping some of the meaning from it.
Well, yeah, it's not meant to be presented as such.
No, but people, I don't know. Anything I do now, I have to be prepared that people will only take away maybe 30% of what I put into it.
This is sort of a non sequitur. One of the callers to my overnight radio show, one guy's a Canadian in Japan, been there 27 years. Sounds like he just came out of Sudbury. I don't know how you maintain that in another culture. But another guy is constantly convinced of nonsense. He's convinced that his cell phone can read his mind. Because what? He's a trucker. He was sitting and thinking about something to do with a truck part. And then his phone showed an ad for that truck part. So he's convinced. He says he never talked to anyone about it. He never texted anyone. He's convinced the phone reads his mind. So
Did
now
he
he's convinced.
For it?
What?
Did he search for it?
That's what I asked him. He said no. And I was like, yeah, you forgot. But he this week, he thinks his dead step-grandmother pushed the tank that holds his bearded dragon onto the floor a week after she died because she didn't like him having lizards.
What?
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty much my expression. My
okay, wait.
All right, do you have a song you want to hear? Like, what do you say to that?
It is great aunt.
No, is a step-grandmother.
Step-grandmother. Step-grandmother.
Yeah.
Came back as a poltergeist.
Yeah.
Decided to haunt him because she didn't like him having a lizard.
There you go. And that's where we're going to wrap it up this week.
And so she took it out on the lizard.
Yeah, that I don't know. People are very interesting. Liana can be heard on It's Not Therapy, a fantastic podcast that gives you provides you with some tools and information and stuff to live your life more fully. And it's funny too. You can find it on all podcast platforms. It's Not Therapy. All right, Liana, very quickly, we got to go. So do your thing.
Bye-bye.